In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. There is a great difference, dearly beloved brethren, between corporal and spiritual delights, in that the former, when we are without them, enkindle in the soul a strong desire to possess them. But once they are attained, they quickly satiate us. Spiritual pleasures, on the contrary, when unattained, produce a certain aversion. But once we taste them, the taste awakens desire, and the hunger for them increases, and more we taste them. So we see that if we do not taste these delights, we cannot desire them, because their flavor is unknown to us. These words come from the commentary on this gospel passage written by St. Gregory the Deologist. St. Gregory reposed over 1,400 years ago, but his words resonate today. Today we hear St. Matthew's version of the parable of the great wedding banquet. This is the same parable that we read in Luke's Gospel the second Sunday before the Nativity of our Lord. And in the parable, the banquet is offered first to those faithful servants who have followed God's word from the beginning. In the first century, this would mean the chosen people of God under the covenant through Abraham, out of bondage through Moses. These servants who the word of God had been spoken to since the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who heard prophecy from Daniel, Ezekiel, Amos, Isaiah, etc., who finally was proclaimed to them by John the Baptist, rejected this invitation to the banquet because of the wickedness of their lives. They were seeking passions of the body through laziness, perhaps lust of power, perhaps a desire for prominence, certainly a desire to find a revolutionary leader that would remove the yoke of Roman occupation from their lives. They sought the immediate gratification of this life and risked everything to attain it, even rejecting the God that had brought them into being. And like St. Gregory says, in attaining these things, they found no joy. They found nothing that was lasting. And they sought that gratification again and again, perhaps thinking if they could just find a bigger pleasure, it would sustain them. But just like a good dessert, whose first bite is always the most satisfying, they continue to search for a better bite, a lasting joy that cannot come from human passions. But our God is a loving God. And when those who have known him from the start reject him, he still holds out hope for them and lovingly awaits their return like the father of the prodigal son. He won't close his gates immediately, but he widens his gates to receive all of creation to himself. You know, really, the gate is only closed when we pass away. But as long as we're living, we have the choice to enter into the banquet. No matter how long it took, no matter what happened before. But our Lord wants us all to be in the banquet. So he opens his gates wide. Those who should have been strong were destroyed by pride, but those from the highways were called, the poor, the weak. It says even the good and the bad were called. Why is this? St. Paul writes, "The weak things of the world has God chosen that he may confound the strong. Christ is inviting us all to this banquet. He does it through himself, through his angels, through the patriarchs, the prophets, the apostles, and with God's help through the pastors of each church. We are invited in many ways. Some come seeking that which they lack. Some come because they follow in those who they respect and in whom they see joy through the knowledge of Christ. Some come through miracles, and others through tragedy. Some come to give back due to the prosperity that they have found, and others come because their adversities seem insurmountable. In whatever way each of us receives our invitation to the banquet, accepting it, it requires us to orient ourselves differently. It requires us to seek joy through spiritual delights rather than delights of the world. Now, I don't mean we can't smile or laugh or enjoy the beauty of God's creation, for our Lord has made beauty everywhere. But that our focus must be turned toward Christ and find the joy in a life in him. Remember the words of St. Gregory, that if we do not taste these delights, we cannot desire them because their flavor is unknown to us. Let us trust the psalmist who wrote, "Come taste and see that the Lord is good." Let us acquire a taste for a life in Christ so that we will know its flavor. Remember also the words of St. Paul, who said, "Put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator." St. Paul reminds us that because Christ first appeared in the flesh, we are changed, renewed, and transformed from a person ruled by the passions to one who is being renewed through encountering the living God. So the first purpose of today's gospel is to help us prepare ourselves, both personally and in our relationship to others, for the coming of the Lord. It focuses on turning away from the pleasures of the world so that we can find joy in Christ himself. Equally important is the second message, which quite simply is the saying of yes to Christ, to accepting the invitation and being present at the feast itself. When we enter into the divine liturgy, we enter spiritually into the kingdom of heaven itself. At the beginning of the liturgy, the deacon says to the priest, "It is time for the Lord to act." The deacon is proclaiming that the gathered assembly is ready to enter into a specific moment where Christ can be encountered as the living God. We are spiritually outside of time at the throne of God with all the saints, the angels, the living, and the departed singing, "Hosanna in the highest, holy, 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 blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." It is why the hymns of every feast in the church are written in the present tense. Today the Virgin bears the transcendent in essence. Today is the day of resurrection. Today is the prelude of the goodwill of God. Today you have shown forth to the world. Today is the beginning of our salvation. Always the present tense. This is not something that can be experienced at home or even watching the services on the internet. It is in the divine liturgy surrounded by the faithful that we are at the same time in Santa Clarita and also in the kingdom of heaven. And finally, let us be cautious of the warning presented in the closing words of the gospel. Remember, there was the one who was found to not be properly attired, not wearing his wedding garment, and he was cast out. Just because we are invited to the banquet And even if we accept that invitation and come and see, that is just our first step. Our salvation is not a moment, but a journey. As I've said many times, it's like walking up a downward moving escalator. Moving just a bit faster than the stairs makes us moving upward. But no action on our part does not sustain our progress, but we fall. Saying yes to Christ and his call in our lives and reorienting ourselves to the joy of the Spirit is like getting on the escalator. Continuing to expend energy in the work we do to keep our wedding garment in good order is walking the escalator. Prayer, fasting, almsgiving, partaking in the mysteries of the church are all ways we keep us clothed in a proper and clean wedding garment. We never know when the Master will come. Our Lord says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So let us be controlled not by the passions, but not let us be controlled not by the passions, but by our passion for Christ. Let us taste and be satisfied not by the excesses of this world, but by the living water that when drunk we will never thirst again. Let us seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all good things will be added as well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.